Unlikely Leaders, Chapter 9, Why the Seven Deacons Were Chosen. This chapter is based on Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. The early church was made up of many classes of people, of different nationalities. At the time of Pentecost, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, Acts chapter 2, verse 5. Among those of the Hebrew faith were Greek-speaking Jews, known as Hellenists. Distrust had existed between them and the Jews of Palestine for a long time. Those who had been converted were united by Christian love. Despite their former prejudices, all were in harmony with one another. But Satan tried to take advantage of former habits of thought, using them to introduce disunion into the church. The enemy succeeded in stirring up the suspicions of some whose habit had been to find fault with their spiritual leaders, and so there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. The cause of complaint was an alleged neglect of the Greek widows in the daily distribution of help to the poor. The apostles had to act quickly to remove all opportunity for dissatisfaction, to prevent the enemy from bringing division among the believers. Under the wise leadership of the apostles, the church was continually enlarging, and this growth increased the burdens on those in charge. They needed to distribute the responsibilities that a few had carried faithfully during the earlier days. The apostles must lay on others some of the burdens they had borne by themselves up to that time. Calling the believers together, the apostles stated that the spiritual leaders should be relieved from the task of distributing to the poor and from similar burdens. They must be free to preach the gospel. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The believers followed this advice, and by prayer and laying on of hands, they set apart seven chosen men as deacons. The results of this new plan. The appointment of the seven was a great blessing to the church. These officers gave careful consideration to individual needs, as well as to the general financial interests of the church, and they were an important help in binding together the various interests of the church. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. This was due both to the greater freedom the apostles now had and the zeal that the seven deacons showed. These men, ordained to look after the needs of the poor, were also fully qualified to instruct others in the truth, and they earnestly engaged in the work. The proclamation of the gospel was to be worldwide, and the messengers of the cross should remain united, in this way revealing to the world that they were one with Christ in God. See John chapter 17, verses 11, 14, 21, and 23. Their power was dependent on their keeping a close connection with the one who had commissioned them to preach the gospel. If they would continue to work in unity, heavenly messengers would open the way for them, hearts would be prepared for the truth, and many would be won to Christ. The church would go forward, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners, Song of Solomon chapter 6, verse 10, gloriously fulfilling her divine mission. The church at Jerusalem was to serve as a model for the organization of churches everywhere. Those carrying the responsibility of overseeing the church were, as wise shepherds, to tend the flock of God, be examples to the flock. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, New Revised Standard Version. And the deacons were to be men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. When many believers had been formed into churches in various parts of the world, the organization was further perfected. All the members were to make a wise use of the talents entrusted to them. Some were given special gifts, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. But all were to work in harmony. Each believer has a special gift of the Spirit. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ, verses 7 to 12, New Revised Standard Version. When Moses was trying to carry burdens so heavy that he would have soon worn away, Jethro counseled him to plan for a wise distribution of responsibilities. "You should represent the people before God," Jethro advised, "and you should bring their cases before God." Jethro further advised that men be appointed to act as officers over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, relieving Moses of many minor matters that consecrated helpers could handle. Exodus chapter 18, verses 19 and 21, New Revised Standard Version. Those in leading positions of responsibility in the church should deal with the more serious matters, demanding special wisdom and compassion. Such people should not adjust minor matters that others are well qualified to manage. Moses chose able men from all Israel. Hard cases they brought to Moses, but any minor case they decided themselves. Verses 25 and 26, New Revised Standard Version. Moses was careful to select men possessing dignity, sound judgment, and experience. Solomon was called to fill a position of leading responsibility, and David gave him a special command: "You, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you." 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. A beautiful plan of organization. The same principles of piety and justice that were to guide God's people in the time of Moses and David were also for those given the care of the newly organized church in the gospel era. In setting things in order and ordaining certain men to act as officers, the apostles held to the standards of leadership outlined in the Old Testament. He who is called to leading responsibility in the church must be blameless. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or addicted to wine or violent or greedy for gain, but he must be hospitable, a lover of goodness, prudent, upright, devout, and self-controlled. He must have a firm grasp of the word that is trustworthy in accordance with the teaching, so that he may be able to both preach with sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict it. Titus chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, New Revised Standard Version. The order that the early Christian church maintained made it possible for them to move forward as a well-disciplined army. Though scattered over a large territory, believers were all one body, all moved in agreement and in harmony. When dissension arose in a local church, they did not permit matters to create division, but referred them to a general council of appointed delegates from the various churches, with the apostles and elders in positions of leading responsibility. In this way, they thwarted the plans of the enemy to disrupt and destroy. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. He requires us to observe order and system today. Christian is to be united with Christian, church with church, every agency subordinate to the Holy Spirit, and all combined in giving the world the good news of God's grace.